in the darkness as black as could be, and my heart felt alone, and I cried, "Oh Lord, don't hide your face from me." Oh, my hand of the way, every hour, every day, from here to the grave, unknown. Take my hand, let me stand where no one stands. Tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Everybody knows that the sanctuary that reads the scripture knows, but if we don't read the scripture, we might get it caught up in the day and time which we live. People call it the sanctuary in the church building. But we actually are the sanctuary people, are the sanctuary that God wishes to make holy and make righteous and make be thoughtful to His presence and His way. Good to be with you. In Vacation Bible School, we sing these songs and we hold up that little Christian light of mine. I'm going to let it shine, this little Christian light of mine. I'm going to let it shine, this little Christian light of mine. I'm going to let it shine, shine, shine all the time. Where? All around my neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. All around my neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. All around my neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine, shine, shine all the time. Now, never let the devil get out. I'm gonna let it shine, never let the devil get out. I'm gonna let it shine, never let the devil get out. I'm gonna let it shine, shine, shine all the time. This little Christian light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little Christian light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little Christian light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, shine, shine all the time. What a blessing, what a blessing. It's placed regardless. After a month of dealing with evil and how to face evil and how to follow God's will in the way of righteous conduct, I thought that it would be a good thing in the next month to take a look at the way of what God tells us how to live from day to day. How does God wish us to live from day to day? What does He wish us to think about, plan to do, and things like that? There are many different subjects that He has in mind, and I'd like to share a few of those particular topics with you today. In the Bible itself, the New Testament of our Bible, Jesus talked about these particular matters in life. If you'll look, please, in John chapter 10, I want you to observe what He said about life and the ways of life for us. In John chapter 10, verse 7, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I want you to observe here that by talking about a way to live and a way to behave and a way to do is not like the hirelings that come, not like those who take advantage of the sheep, but those who find themselves not doing that way, but doing the right things of teaching God's will. Jesus said, I've come to teach this way. And then the message would be continued down the stream of time of what he has taught. According to Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 2, the things I have heard and learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. On down the stream of time it was done. Faithful people found themselves doing this. It is the case that some of them were destroyed. Some of them were killed. Some of them were murdered. There are stories that you can read regarding Christian martyrs throughout the first five centuries of time, and then beyond that time, all the way up to the time of the Great West here in America, where there were those who were finding themselves teaching God's will, and yet there were those who opposed it so severely that they brought about the death of the individuals. What about this lay of life? Well, Jesus our Lord talked about that in the beginning at the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said plainly this, Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. I want you to observe that what he's saying here in this passage sets out the idea that there are going to be persecutions of people teaching the right thing and doing the right things. But the idea is that there is a great reward for those who suffer death at the hands of those who do not appreciate truth and righteousness and good conduct. We're talking about a way of life that he says is the way that the prophets spoke in years gone by. And they were not honored and not spoken of well. And their lives were taken. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward, not here on earth, in heaven. In heaven. Is there a place of heaven that Jesus has said we're going? Yes, it is. And he noted that at the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. There's a place of heaven. You can rejoice that you're going there because the prophets suffered before you and God rests them in this way. Wonderful blessings have come about. In the book of Revelation, we note in chapters 5 and 6 how that there are those who come before the Lord and they cry to the Lord, How long, O Lord, how long shall our blood go unavenged on the earth? What happened to them while they were on earth? There was someone who came with the edge of the sword or a knife or a club and beat them so that their blood was shed. And he's saying to them that they are people who crawl out for the Lord to avenge us from our blood being shed upon this earth. It's only a right thing to do. But the Lord came to them and said, Tarry here and rest here for a time. Till you be joined by your brethren on the earth who shall suffer as did you. The Lord says there are others that go on earth. They're carrying out my will like you did. They're being punished like you were. They're going to die and they're going to join you. And look what he put upon them to comfort them during this time. He brought them robes of white and put them upon these servants of God who had suffered death at the hands of those that they tried to teach the right things to. they were comforted by this, the presence of God in their lives, and told that others would join them in the future. When we talk about the ways that God wants us to live, He wants us to teach His Word faithfully, no matter the cost, no matter whatever circumstances are. We live in a day and time when that can vividly be at hand. We're here in peace and quiet this morning, but we don't have an armed guard at the door. And even if we did have an armed guard at the door, we have a big parking lot out there in which there could be those who are terrorists who would pull up. They could come out of it with various automatic ammunitions. We could hear the shots fired. We couldn't move anywhere around the way. It'd be a surprise to us. And before we know it, they're inside the building. Before we know it, we're getting under the pew and they are reaching up high and down low and they're firing automatic weapons to us. You say, well, that's something that doesn't happen in America. Thank the Lord that it doesn't happen very often in America, but it's happened in places. But our brethren in Ghana have gone through that. Their little children have been taken from their hands and arms and their meeting service. And they literally have had their brains to be bashed out on the rocks outside, trying to persuade these people who are worshiping God, teaching right things, got scripture for what they say, to not do this anymore at this place, destroying the future for the children put to death. What did Jesus say? Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. We're talking about right things of God, and we're talking about the way in which God wants us to live from day to day. And He says, I want you to live day to day in way of enjoying an abundant life. And as you enjoy that abundant life, then you may teach others about that abundant life. In fact, as you live that way of life out here in front of others, they will say, why do you live this way? Why do you talk this way? You don't talk the mean-spirited way you used to do. You don't talk the mean, vile way that you used to do. And then they will say, why? And you can say to them the truth. Oh, I made it up myself. I fixed it up myself. I did it all for me. No, instead of taking credit for it for ourselves, we say, the Lord taught me His Word. It's in His Word that I saw a better way to talk, a better way to think, a better way to do. As a result of His Word, I have become what I have become. Will there be one? We pray that there'll be one. Maybe more than one. Who will come to the Lord and obey that gospel because of that example of life. In John chapter 15, He talks about this in this kind of way. He says in John 15, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that beareth fruit in me, notice what He says, the same will bear much fruit, He says. Because He has continued to purge us and to do that. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the vine, as the branch, can not bear fruit itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Indeed, when we talk with others and talk with others about the right things of God that we're all supposed to practice. I, your mom and dad, are supposed to do this. I, your friend and companion, are supposed to do this. This is a way for us to talk, a way for us to think, a way for us to do. And it will bring forth much fruit. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that there are those gone by and years gone by who were so faithful to the ways of the Lord, planted congregation after congregation after congregation. As they did, they invited neighbors and friends to come and worship, to come and study from the Bible. They taught the word of the Lord. When my grandparents were involved in this particular matters, they found themselves with a church group and they enjoyed that church group. They had fun with that church group. They really, really had a good time with that church group. Until there was a gospel preacher who came into the area and put up a brush arbor. A brush arbor made out of poles and branches, and they were all strung up the top of that thing, and there were really ropes that were placed up there and strings sometimes, threads that were placed that way, and there was all the kind of branches that were above it. And they sang in that way. And there was a little stand back down there where they stood up, and they stood a little higher than the crowd. And the people were there sitting on benches of saw logs, and they heard something in the scripture. And maybe they had, as they did in this instance, old Brother Dolph Chefcoat had a blackboard up there. And he could have on that blackboard things written, and he would underline certain things that were there. He knew it so well that he could underline where it was. And it was a different message than they heard before. So they went back to their church the next Sunday. And they brought up those questions that come to their minds. Why was this man telling us to repent and be baptized? Why was he telling Cornelius, a Gentile, to be commanded him to be baptized? We don't teach people to do that. Why don't we teach people to do that? A fuss began. There were those very critical of it. You're trying to wreck this church is what you're trying to do. You're bringing this message up here. But they had gotten home and they had gotten their Bible down by a coal oil lamp. And they had read the verses that that man cited on that blackboard up there that he underlined. And they read those verses. And they realized this was the teaching of the scripture about how to be saved from sin. It wasn't a prayer that was said. It was activity that was done. My grandfather said the next Sunday, they kind of said, "Whoa, let's calm it down." They brought the subject up again. Met with fusses and complaints. Met with criticism, great. Met with people who just did not accept it at all and would not open their Bible and read that verse for love or money. We would not do it. They find themselves as brothers talking about what they then would do. Do we want to go back and create criticisms and create fusses and arguments and fusses and fights? Or do we want to find a people in this community who will teach the Word of God without anger? That's what brought them to the Nile Church. For there they could bring up any question, and instead of the person saying, "Well, you're foolish to believe that, aren't you?" and criticize them on the basis, they met it with, "Let's open our Bible and see what the Bible says about that question. Oh, let's see what God's Word says about that." And so when that old preacher came in and he had the view in mind that women couldn't teach anything over the man, and they came to time for a little Bible class that they had there for the young people, the children there and everything, they all got up to it, and these ladies got up to go with them. And he said, "What's the ladies doing getting up and going to that Bible class? That's not right." And so one of the brothers said, "What does the scripture say about that?" They knew that Paul had addressed that thought in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And so as they all stood up that way and waited to go to that class, they all opened their Bible. Children had their Bible in their hands. They opened it and they would commence to read. And as they commenced to read, they read where, sure enough, women were not to speak over the man. Over the man. Which one of these little children would you say is a man going to this class today? It wasn't a man. There were little children going to class. This scripture says it's no the man. They're not to have authority over the man. That's what God's Word says, and that's what we're practicing here at this congregation. They further noted to the good man that the class can go on now, and we can teach the Word of God and work this Word of God to our young people here. And you can stay and you can be a part of this class that we have here in this auditorium with all the adults. And you can preach for us today. We'd love to have you to preach for us today, but not on this subject. This subject has been settled by the Word of God. Now, if you use this verse to talk about this subject, it'll be a wonderful, wonderful study. But if you come up here with what they served was a hobby on your part, then you can't preach today on any subject. He changed his mind about that. He decided to preach what the Bible had to say. They loved him and talked about him for years and years on end, and the great change that took place in his decision making in life. We're talking about a way of life that God's way, God's will in our lives. And this is what he said, do I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that abides beareth not fruit. He taketh away. He purgeth it that it may be able to bear more fruit. Yesterday, Miss Jane went out and she used her clippers and everything, and she took out the knocked-out roses down just a little bit. And she said, they'll make that much more. And they do. Every year they make that much more. What a blessing it is to have. We're talking about a way of life that is purged by the Lord's Word. You're clean through the Word I have spoken unto you. When we leave this building today, if we in heart were sincere about our worship, sincere about our thoughts and prayers, we as brethren of the Lord will leave here pure and clean in heart. Thankful to God for the hope that we have that if we die before I awake, we prayed the Lord our soul to take. What a blessing it is to have this kind of relationship with the Lord. And this is what His Word taught us as to how to do in life. There are many more things that He taught about of how to do in life from day to day. About money. About friendship with our neighbors round about us. About a way of life that He wanted us to practice as we work and labor. And we'll get to those, Lord, with Him throughout this particular month. Thank you for being here today in this study with us. If there's someone with us today that says, I need to obey the gospel like he said do on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. Like Peter said to do to Cornelius, the Gentile there in Acts chapter 10. I need to be baptized into Christ. I need to be raised to walk a new life that Paul wrote about in Romans 6. And he talked about that new walk of life that I have. What a blessing it'll be. Everything is ready for you to do that even today. Or whenever you make that decision, don't make it in the thought in mind that I'll have plenty of time. There are so many in life that are leaving us suddenly in life. Make the plan for God's will to be done in your life while you're able at the first opportunity you have and faithfully follow His will. Would you come to Jesus as we stand together and as we sing this song of encouragement today?
I am the Lord. obey. Come, for he loves you so. Only a step, only a step. Come, for he bled for you and I. He's the same loving Savior yet. Jesus the crucified. Open for you the pearly gate. Loved ones for you, now watch and wait. Terrible fall to Christ to pay. Jesus, I have come to thee. Only yourself, only yourself. Come, for he bled.
Talk with the men in regard to your plans for Easter Day and that particular evening. We'll meet for singing together that night for sure. We won't stop the worship service itself. But if it helps you by way of what you prepare on that day and what you are responsible to do, then we can do without the potluck that night. We do that in November and December each year because it does help. And let it be known if it helps. Thank you so much. God bless you.